Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in on Tuesday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the Pride of Chicago. Danny Burke, hope you're doing okay. Can tap the line, Shillingbridge Court can tap house. I'll let you do that. 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Numbers to get in. Can find us on Twitter. Follow us at Schmidt underscore radio, at Danny Burke 5, at Hail Varsity. And as always, can email Chris at HailVarsity.com. We'll get into the latest Richie Incognito story, a famous Wade maybe headed to Lincoln, on top of Nebraska basketball schedule release from a Big Ten standpoint. It feels weird to talk basketball or spend any time on basketball today, or any day in August, quite honestly, but we may sneak it in. I know you're pretty fired up about your Cubs.
Oh, yeah. And, hey, you know it's a good thing for your basketball program if you're the Huskers, if you're talking about it this early on.
Right. And, yeah, let the imagination run wild.
Exactly.
With what's returning, with what's here, with the schedule. We'll get into it. We'll get into it. We'll run down Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com and magazine. Mitch is coming up in 15 minutes. Get his take as we're a little more than a week out for the college football season. Coach DiNardo was talking about this yesterday when it comes to winning the West. He said maybe one loss. Maybe one loss. And that's it for you to win the West. I don't know. We'll dive into it. Barry Alvarez has changed his mind about expanding the playoff. And then Joel Makovica is 1 hour from now. Hall of Famer and standout fullback, three-time national champion Joel Makovica. Get his take on Frosty, on the team, on the walk-on culture, specifically in-state recruiting. Can that walk-on program, what's kind of the timeline to build it back up? So that's what we're going to do. But we'll start with the curious case of the quarterback. Quarterback, man, it's been a position of stress, and then you think about it, well, maybe it'll be okay, and then you're back to stress. And that's kind of been the roller coaster, hasn't it, if you're a Nebraska fan? What's the corner situation going to look? And here's what I know, and here's what Coach Travis Fisher has done. He's played guys at both spots. He wants you to learn both spots. Got to play like you're a safety. That means you got to be able to tackle like you're a safety if you play corner. And you got to be able to cover like a corner if you play safety. So let's talk a little bit here about Will Jackson. He's a guy, up until this morning, I had down as a rotation opportunity, right? Lamar and DeCap, as we talk now, are they the starters? Don't know that they're not. We'll just set it up that way. And then what do you have behind them? Well, is Cam Taylor ready? Gonna have to be. Is Braxton Clark for real? Who's Braxton Clark? Oh, yeah, three-star from Florida that's 6'4 and lanky. We got Ethan Cox that's gotten some run. Eric Lee has played before. Moses Bryant. So where are you at? You know the safeties' names. Antonio Reed, Markell Dismuke, JoJo Doman, Trey Neal, Aaron Williams, Deontay Williams. You're going to find 4 to 5 dudes, 6 if you want to go heavy, and you're playing against a 4 to 5 wideout team, or you need to tackle in space and have some run support. I don't worry about Travis Fisher finding guys. How quickly can guys perform at a high level is my question. And he can't go play for them. He can do everything that includes getting them ready. They've got to go perform. That's the reality. Will Jackson, nice to know you, sir. This guy was, I mean, he was 6 foot three. He was long. He was lanky. He's a body type you love. And he's a guy that's from Mesa Community College, which means he comes in from JUCO. He's a JUCO body. He's an athlete that's played higher level competition the last couple of years. And you get him and you're like, all right, this is good stuff. He's a JUCO kid that can come in. And if Lamar isn't getting it done, or DeCamp's having problems, or pick somebody. Just not to name those two, but those are the two guys you think about, right? He's gone. See ya. And you have the depth chart getting a little bit clearer, as in you have subtraction of Will Jackson. So this is a bit interesting. And this through Hail Varsity. The spokesman with the university appreciates his competition. We'll incorporate it into the room. Wish him the best. So Will Jackson's a Washington, D.C. guy. Was at Kentucky. And that's a Stoops run in Kentucky. Dismissed in February of 2016. Was at Iowa Western and then landed at Mesa. Came to Lincoln in early June. Got there, and you figured with him, and that's what you don't get a lot of times. You want it, but you don't get it. The JUCO coming in here and battling during the summer, not just showing up and hoping to play. So he had put some time in here, and this may be what did it yesterday when you had post-practice sessions. Travis Fisher is brutally honest with his corners and his safeties, with his secondary. He teaches you, but he also treats you like a grown-up, and you better grow some thick skin.
Will Jackson is running a slow blinker right now. He's still struggling with getting the, you know, learning the playbook. Right now he's learning. He's doing a good job of learning, but he's not there. All right, and it's not sometimes not an easy deal for some guys. And then some, but he'll get it. He'll get it. He is approaching football. He's approaching. He's coming in extra, watching film. So he got the right mind.
Okay, so Will Jackson's putting in the work, putting in the time. And Will Jackson's a guy that is really grinding hard and trying hard. But he's also been here since summer. So you've heard the term quick blinker at quarterback. Now you've heard the term slow blinker at cornerback. And you just don't know. You don't know if, hey, Will, God love you. It ain't happening. You need to get the defense down. You're putting in the work. You're putting in the time. Your effort's there. You have some physical gifts, but you're not, it's not clicking. Okay? So I don't know that they told him to leave, or if Will Jackson heard the term slow blinker and said, see ya, I'm out. More from Coach Fisher on Will Jackson. When asked about where he was going to be in the rotation, wouldn't he be one of those top guys?
Everything is earned. Nothing is given. Everything is earned. So if he's not at the top of that production chart by the end of camp, then no. If he is, then yes.
Yeah, that production chart, are you ahead? Are you behind? Are you getting better? Are you getting worse? And we don't know. We don't have a look-see into Coach Fisher's production chart. But it does set some standards for you. You know where you stand as a player, and you're either chasing or leading, and one of the two is happening. Daddy, what's your take on this? It's not good. You have six scholarship cornerbacks, but was he going to play, and was he going to contribute and be effective if he was forced to play, if he's had playbook issues?
Look, I don't think this is a thing you lose sleep over. As a Husker fan, I mean, it obviously sucks. Like you said, you're losing someone, a roster spot opens up, which could be beneficial for other players, but I wasn't really looking out there. When you're looking at the roster, I wasn't thinking, okay, this guy's really going to get some playing time. Let's see what he can do. He didn't stand out necessarily, you know?
Well, he hasn't stood out, but you also haven't seen him, really, because he just, you know, he got here during the summer. The other part of it is you got to ask yourself this, just stare in the mirror here as a Nebraska fan. Do you trust what they have at corner? Do you trust Lamar Jackson turning the corner and being a guy that can be physical? All right? DeCaprio Boodle, I love his heart. I love his tenacity. Is he good enough to hang and survive and be good in the Big Ten as a cover guy and also as a tackle? I have no doubt about him being feisty to go get off blocks and try and go smoke people. But you need to solidify and find a rotation because of injury, because of number of snaps. You need 3 to 4 corners. And if you have 6 on scholarship, now maybe there's a gem here that's not on scholarship that needs some time to grow up. But it needs to be an accelerated growth period. That's where we're at. I think Cam Taylor's a guy that listen, by all accounts, he's going to get a look and he'll see some time because he has earned it.
Yep.
Braxton Clark. Let's hear from Coach Fisher about Braxton Clark. What do you got with him? And if you lose a guy from a frame and a measurable standpoint in Will Jackson, you don't feel so bad, and you wish Will Jackson well, but you don't feel so bad now because of what you have in Braxton Clark. And he's a dude out of high school that's kind of flashed so far.
You know, Braxton just got out of high school. You think about that. He just got out of high school. So, I mean, he got to figure out how to get around campus, too. So, I mean, for him to come so far, so quick, that's excellent. That's what we want from guys like that. We recruit guys. And he's done a great job of coming in. And he's had to fight. He's had to put him up in practice a couple times. You know, he had to get jacked up by some old guys. He had to get off that block. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, and that's what we're looking for. We're looking for guys that approach practice like that. We're looking for in the defensive backfield to be rough and tough. Building character is another deal. And just and being able to communicate in the back end. And I think he's done a great job. He got a lot of room to get better, but so does the whole group. He's done a great job.
So that's Braxton Clark, kind of a name that we hadn't heard a lot about. You know, he's part of the recruiting class. And here's my quick thoughts on Clark. It's not just a 6'3½", 200-pound, long dude at corner. But the guy is a fighter. And I'm not saying he's going to throat punch somebody like we're watching Kill Bill 2. But what I am about is that mentality at corner. And that is something that they got to have throughout. They got to have on lines of scrimmage. You got to have it corner. And if you got a guy in Braxton Clark that's kind of made that impression already, good. Can Cam Taylor and Braxton Clark, two high school kids that have not had a redshirt year or not had a year with Coach Duvall, they'll get that year, but they're going to be playing some snaps now, whether they start or they substitute, they're going to be playing. Are they big enough to hold up right now as true freshmen and come in? Is their mentality good? Yes. Is their talent level high? Yes. But let's be straight, man. We're talking about Wisconsin. We're talking about Iowa. We're talking about Ohio State. That physical wear and tear is the question. And, you know, God forbid that, you know, Nebraska's defensive line or linebackers, the first or second level, make a tackle on a running back. They will start doing that. But man, Nebraska just got wore out the last few years having the corners get run at with no edge set, and then the corner couldn't get off a block, and then a 4-yard to 7-yard gain turned into 17 to 25. That's what it was. So you're having to undo a lot of things culturally, and you've heard Coach Fisher talk about that. We'll spend some more time with Coach Fisher, but here's your pool of candidates right now. Lamar, DeCap, Cam, Braxton, Eric Lee, Ethan Cox, Moses Bryant, and of course your group of safeties that can also maybe moonlight as some nickelback option and opportunity. guys that you're wondering about, Tony Butler, Avery Anderson, C.J. Smith, Cameron Jones, on top of Antonio Reed, Markell Dismuke, JoJo Doman, Trey Neal, Aaron Williams, Deontay Williams. You have got 3,000 safeties. Can somebody play corner? Can somebody play hybrid? We'll see. More from the Nebraska coaches tomorrow, as it's the offensive day. Six is a low number. It has a trickle-down effect in recruiting as well, because that's an area you need to go after. And if you got a JUCO guy in Will Jackson, now you don't have a JUCO guy in Will Jackson. He was going to graduate sooner rather than later, but now you're forced to play some of these younger guys, and the clock's ticking on them. So you have a confident guy in DiCaprio Boodle. You have a guy who's continuing to grow confidence-wise in Lamar Jackson. Who's starting? Who's backing him up? Who's rotating? And you have 11 days to figure that out and then make that jump from game one to game two with the Buffs and their quarterback and wideouts coming in. Great to be with you on a Tuesday. We'll run down Mitch Sherman. We'll talk some college football with him. Joe Makovicka, less than an hour with Hail Varsity.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Thanks for your time. Great to be back with you. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the pride of Chicago, Danny Burke. We welcome in Mitch Sherman with ESPN.com and magazine at Mitch Sherman on Twitter. Mitch, how's your week, man? What's new?
It stopped raining, so that's good. And college football is getting a lot closer, so my week is good.
That is correct. It is a lot closer. And Mitch, I wanted to get your thoughts on a few things. First and foremost, what's your reaction? We'll get to Nebraska in a minute, but I need to know what you think of Saban losing his mind at his press conference about how easy it's supposedly to just poof, make a great team again at Alabama.
I did hear about that. I caught wind of that when you started asking about Saban. I wasn't sure because he loses his mind, you know, somewhat regularly. And you would never think that the coach who, well, maybe he would. Maybe that's the secret. Maybe, you know, he's obviously never satisfied. And the results speak for themselves at Alabama, and they've been in every college football playoff. I guess I don't feel a whole lot different about this than I do the last one. I feel like Coach Saban, you know, needs to have those moments. It's like whether he's sending a message to the team or he's sending a message to his fan base, the Alabama fan base, or he's sending a message to, you know, his administration at Alabama or just like the college football public in general. And I think maybe from one blow up to the next, the message that he's trying to send is intended for a different audience. But there's always a method to the madness for him. And, I mean, he's right. Just because Alabama goes out and recruits 4- and 5-star players, you know, like it's a piece of cake, it doesn't mean that when they have a serious injury that there's always going to be another guy just right there ready to step in. You know, it's going to take a period of – they probably have somebody who's very talented behind that guy, but, that guy has to be trained to fit in with the top defense, and it's not like with the NFL where you can go out and trade for a superstar if you have a guy who gets injured. You know, Alabama's about as close to the NFL as you can get in the college ranks, but you know, even Nick Saban has issues that are related to injuries, and Alabama has found itself this preseason on the wrong end of having some guys get hurt. So I'm sure that's stressful for him, as it would be for any other coach. I will say this, based on the way that they recruit and the kind of depth that they have, they're going to be able to fill those holes better or as well as just about any program in the country. So while it's probably still not the easiest thing out there to do, he's in a lot better shape doing it than most of his colleagues.
That is absolutely 100% right on the money, but he gets all balled up and loses his mind about three times a year, directing it at his players through the media, and hopefully they get on board with it. I don't know if we'll find out an answer tomorrow, but tomorrow is supposed to be the day that some more news should come out about Ohio State. Any thoughts as to timeline tomorrow, or do you have an estimate as to what happens tomorrow?
I would expect that we'll get an answer. I don't think that it would have had this buildup. There's been announcements made about Sunday, this last Sunday being the end of the investigation, a report being issued to the university leadership or the people who need to know on Monday, and then tomorrow is supposed to be the day where a written report is issued. And I would be really surprised if we're sitting here 24 hours from now and we don't know the fate of Urban Meyer this season. And all indications are that he's going to keep his job, that he's going to face some kind of a suspension. But that could really range from a fraction. There's been talk that he'll be given credit for time served since he's been out of the day-to-day operations of the Buckeyes since August 1st. So, they may just say, all right, you can come back on September 1st, which, happens to be the Ohio State season opening game, or he may have to sit out a few games. I would suspect by that Penn State game, he's going to be back on the sideline. They may shock us all. The group that was charged to investigate this thing and say that Urban Meyer acted, in a way that does not allow him to move forward as the coach. But I that just seems at this point to be the least likely outcome of this. That if you're putting odds on it, that's like 20 to 1. I'm sure you can get real odds on it. That's just my odds sitting here right now. But it seems very unlikely his time at Ohio State is done. I'd expect that he'll serve a suspension, and he'll probably get some credit for time served here this month. And by the time Ohio State gets into the teeth of its schedule in the Big Ten, he's going to be back out there on the sideline. And then the debate will begin about all that's transpired and why, in fact, Zach Smith was on that coaching staff for the last 3 years. And, there's a whole new discussion that's going to have to occur if, in fact, Urban is allowed to continue to coach this season at Ohio State.
Mitch, do you think, depending on what the repercussions are going to be for Urban, if he gets suspended or if he doesn't, we'll say that he gets suspended for a few games maybe. Do you think that the team's going to be affected in any way kind of negatively or not really, since it's those non-conference games and they should blow by pretty easily?
Well, they've got TCU out there, which isn't going to be a cakewalk in Dallas. I honestly think if it's a suspension of a few games, I honestly think that that's not going to have a huge impact on the team. If he had been suspended for the entire year, and I suppose that's still on the table, though that one looks unlikely. That to me, yeah, that would have had a huge impact on the team. But if they've got that carrot out there, that coach is coming back, let's get through this until we've got him calling those plays again, then I think they'll be just fine. I think Ohio State has enough talent to navigate the non-conference season without him, even that TCU game. A lot of that comes down on Ryan Day also, the interim coach or the acting coach in Meyer's place. And it's hard to know without being, even if you're there in Columbus, I think it's hard to know without being on the inside of that football program, how things are holding up. Are they as sharp as they would be without Urban Meyer? I mean, his experience and his expertise and all that he adds to the mix is pretty important. And the preseason is a huge time for the development of your team. It's a huge time for the development of your team when you're breaking in a new quarterback, as Ohio State is this season. So I don't want to minimize the impact of all this time they've had without him and potentially the time they could have without him in the non-conference season. But I think that the talent they have there as a whole on that roster will allow them to largely overcome this time. And by the end of the year, it very well may be an afterthought that any of this any of this happened with him in August and September.
Mitch Sherman's with us, ESPN.com and magazine at Mitch Sherman on Twitter is where you find him. Mitch, a thought on Will Jackson leaving the Nebraska program. He was a JUCO kid that came in during the summer, had good height and weight, and was deemed a guy that was trying to really get it down, but it wasn't happening. He leaves the program today. Six scholarship corners for Nebraska. Is it panic time, or is it something you just got to deal with and develop even some walk-ons? Can Nebraska be okay to start the year and then get better as the season goes forward?
Yeah, I don't think it makes a big – one thing it tells me, and you've heard some of the reports about Will Jackson through camp, and they haven't been glowing,
right.
Both from Travis Fisher and from some of the teammates who, you know, basically said, you know, you read between the lines, and it's been like, okay, the guys, it's going to take some time. And, one positive, not a positive for Will Jackson, of course, but a positive for us as people who watch the progress of this program and for the fans who want to know what's going on a day-to-day basis is that they were basically telling the truth. You know, you don't often get a lot of truth from out of college football programs in the month of August. It's always a lot of glowing reports, and it's difficult sometimes to really comprehend the information that you're getting. And I think one thing that this tells us is that, hey, these coaches in this instance, that you can believe what they're saying. I mean, they're going to put some shine on some things, but if it's really not working out and not looking great, I don't think they're going to go to great lengths to sugarcoat it. So, you know, maybe this means that some of the other stuff we're hearing about Maurice Washington, about the quarterbacks, you know, about other guys on the defensive side, I think you can take it on face value a little bit more, because it appeared that the writing was on the wall here with Jackson and his development, and in fact, it's true. You know, he wasn't progressing well, and if he was on the scout team coming out of 3 weeks of camp, whether he's on scholarship or not, he wasn't in a position likely where he was going to help this team on the field this fall. So if you have six guys on scholarship at that position, it's really no different than having seven if one of them is playing scout team. And I think they can get through this season with six corners. They've got some other guys in the secondary who aren't necessarily corners, who are versatile and can probably move over if needed. And then there are the potential walk-on, the walk-ons too. This may open up an opportunity for a walk-on to get put on scholarship. We'll see. I don't know how, if he started the school year, exactly how that's going to affect their numbers when it comes to the 85. He probably will have to count against them this year. This kind of goes down as one of those misses in recruiting, which are inevitable and are going to happen, especially with the first-year coaching staff that's looking to fill some holes at positions that are in dire need, as they were in the secondary this year. So it happens, and it's probably better to clean these things out and to get a guy like that, you know, on a better track for him sooner rather than later.
Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com and magazine, at Mitch Sherman on Twitter. Mitch, we'll get caught up next week. It'll be game week. Can't wait for that. Thanks for a few minutes today, bud.
Yeah, and we should have a starting quarterback to visit about, so that'll be good.
Yes.
Looking forward to it.
Yes, we could. We should. We'll know Monday, right?
Monday, maybe Friday? Friday,
maybe Monday. That's a good question. We'll keep our fingers crossed. Sooner the better. That'd be fun. All good. Mitch, take care, man. Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot, Chris.
All right, there he is. You know, Mitch just nailed it. And it's, you got versatile guys. You have bodies to choose from. And you got to move forward with it if you're Nebraska. We'll dive into the West, how you get that one. And what Barry Alvarez has to say. Husker basketball in the news. And Joel Makovic coming up after 5. It's Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, chris@hailvarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
We'll get into some Big Ten West thoughts. First, though, texting and driving, no bueno. When you text and drive, it's very dangerous behavior, and it's something that can hurt you, can hurt others, can hurt those on the roadway. When you text and drive, it's like taking your eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds. It's driving blind at 55 miles per hour, and it increases your crash risk 23 times, and it's illegal. That means you can get popped between $100 and $300. No text message more important than your life, the lives of your passengers, and others on the roadway. This message from the Nebraska Department of Transportation and Highway Safety Office. 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Good stuff from Mitch Sherman. Joe Makovica is coming up here at a little bit after 5. Chris Schmidt, Danny Burke. 466-3776, 800-825-5865 can tap the line. Chilling Bridge Cork and Tap House lets you do that. This from Scott Docterman off of Twitter. The college football schedule facts are these. 11 Big Ten teams play at least 10 Power 5 foes. 12 if you count BYU as a P5. 3 play 11. 9 Big 12 teams play 10 Power 5 schools. 8 Pac-12 teams play 10 or more Power 5s. They need to. 10 if you count BYU. That is insightful. 5, Cinco. ACC teams play 10 Power 5 schools. Notre Dame plays 10 themselves. 0, SEC teams play 10 Power 5 games. Arkansas plays 8 Power 5 games. So all three of their non-con, group of 5. I ask you this, when you look at the West Division, Coach DiNardo said that, 8-1 should be enough to make it happen in the West. And we know Wisconsin is at Penn State. We know Wisconsin's at Michigan. We know Iowa is at Penn State. We know Nebraska's everywhere with Sparty coming to town. That's kind of the extent of your home favors. What gets it done in the West? Have you thought that far ahead? And what gets it done in the East? I'm thinking you can go 7-2 in the West as long as you have the tiebreaker over Iowa.
Agreed.
Right? Because you could get tripped up if you're Wisconsin by somebody, Northwestern, Nebraska, you could get swept.
Michigan.
Yeah, you could get swept, right? You could get swept in your crossovers, two of your three crossovers, and you lose at Michigan and you lose at Penn State. But you beat everybody else in the West, and you go 7-2. 8-1, seals it.
Absolutely.
But 7-2, 6-3 might be the number in the East. But if that happens, you got to have an 8-1 West win it all champion. Your one misstep is a regular season misstep, and Wisconsin repeats what they did last year. I don't know, man. Is this the year with Wisconsin rolling in at number 4 with this offensive line, with this running game, with this quarterback, with this, hey, they just rebuild. Oh, hold on. They just reload. Type mentality where you have 4 defensive starters back. You lose 7. Are we all just getting suckered by Wisconsin this year? Or do you think they're going to be not only as good as advertised, but they're ready to take that step? I want to see Nebraska and Wisconsin hook up, and I want to see Nebraska play their butts off. And maybe go get one up there. And you'll know where Nebraska's at, because they'll have had Colorado, and they'll have had Michigan, and they'll have had Purdue before they go to Madtown. The biggest question I have about this Nebraska football team isn't talent, isn't coaching, isn't going to be effort, especially when things are going well. My biggest question about this Nebraska football team is going to be, how do they respond when things get very, very uncomfortable? And you can have the coaches getting you ready, and you can be running your tempo, and you can just be not as good as said opponent. Because it was real easy to just say, screw it last year. This staff won't let them do that. But how much time and energy do you waste wondering if you're good enough to compete when you do get it shoved down your throat? How do you respond when you get beat? Because it's going to happen. That's my biggest question. And can you get better? Can you kind of bond together? That's what's being worked on right now. You hear 1,000 times a day about culture, but that's what they're working on right now. That's what Travis Fisher was talking about yesterday. I mean, the importance of Trey Neal from a culture standpoint. We were talking about this when it kind of first broke out that he was coming to Lincoln. He knows what they expect. He knows what they want. And he knows how to talk to the dudes about, here's what you got to go do to go win every day in practice. They got to make practice nuts. You heard Coach Frost talk about it earlier, right? You got to be juiced. You got to be ready to go. Got to be excited. Got to be better on the practice field. And it's not their norm. They can get up, but every day needs to be like they're already up for it. And that absolutely has a lot to do with who wins the West. Do you have that breakthrough game early? Or is it just going to be 7-5? There you go. Can you steal a couple of road wins? Because you should win most of your home games, right? Aside from Sparty, but maybe you can get Sparty in November. I don't know. If you're a betting man, the Pride of Chicago, are you giving me the lock of the millennium that 7-2 wins the West?
Yeah, that's all it'll take. I mean, I think if it was 6-3, too, it wouldn't surprise me.
If Wisconsin's 8-1, and they go 2-1 at Iowa, at Penn State, at Michigan, that's pretty cool for them.
This is going to be exciting because Wisconsin and Iowa are going at it week 4 in Iowa. Is that going to be a night game? That's the biggest question, man.
I don't know. It's a great question.
If it is, anything can happen, baby.
I think Iowa Russ is going.
Yeah, I mean,
but that's also
the Iowa guy.
That's also like the. Yeah, that's going to be Nebraska, Michigan. Two.
Yeah.
Two.
It'll be a good week.
So you're throwing Nebraska, Michigan 2:30, and then Wisconsin, Iowa night game.
Let's hope so.
It'll be a good time.
It'll be a fun day.
It'll be all right. We'll wind down hour one. Joel Makavica coming up. Husker great, fullback, Hall of Famer. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Some more thoughts from Travis Fisher next hour. He likes him some Moses Bryant. We'll get into Barry Alvarez, what happens with the college football playoff. Danny Burke's Chicago Cubs, what they're going to do this postseason. What happens at corner? You can find us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio, at @DannyBurke5. And yes, we have Ultimate Fighting Championship going on at PBA this weekend. That's going to be awesome. It's a pre-party going on with ESPN. And you want tickets to the event down at Pinnacle Bank? We'll give you a pair. What are we going to do here, Danny? We've got a pair today. We're going to have to double up at some point, right?
I think.
Like Thursday?
Yeah. Actually, you're right. Yeah, because we had six pairs.
Right?
Yep. So we could do caller number 5 here after this segment here. Sound okay. Good?
Yeah, that's good. That's good. We'll get into Richie Incognito, who lost his mind again, and that's not making fun of a guy named Richie that can bench press most of West O. His father passed away. He got a story about his dad. And Richie Incognito that I experienced when I was your age, or actually just starting out in college. So it was pretty pleasant, actually. So Richie Incognito in the news. We'll get into Nebraska basketball. even though it's football season, basketball's making the waves. We'll see if Zaire Wade is a haul Tim Miles can get. So, yeah, that's what's coming up next hour. The news of the day, Will Jackson, see ya, has left the team, left the program. Is that going to be a stumbling block for Nebraska? Do you think they'll be okay without a talent like Will Jackson? Now, the measurables are there, but you have the reality of needing to do well with the playbook. That wasn't going well. Sauter Heyman, Rick and the gang, there for you when it comes to Nebraska's exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds, Sauter Heyman, in three locations in Nebraska for you. 12th and O downtown South Point Pavilion is also a location of Sauter Heyman. Can go see those pure-grown diamonds. So two in Lincoln, 12th and O downtown, and South Point Pavilion, out west in Grand Island as well. When you want to see Rick and your friends, and pure-grown diamonds are real diamonds grown in a lab instead of mined from the earth. They're eco-friendly. They're 100% sustainable. They're 10 to 40% less than earth mined diamonds. Log on today, SauterHeyman.com. Caller 5, Casino Danny.
Yes, sir. Caller 5.
Caller 5 for those Ultimate Fighting Championship tickets for Saturday. Caller 5, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Can get in on the 800 line. If you are out of town, we cannot mail the tickets to you. Just as a heads up on that.
And remember, if you win, the only way you get them is you do have to wrestle Schmitty at one point or
another. We're not gonna do that. I'm not wrestling. I'm gonna throw you out there to the crowd and let you do it. I'm not the leverage thing. I could lean on you. I could probably go heavyweight.
There you go.
But to be honest with you. Yeah, Uncle Andy's the wrestler in the family. State champion.
Did he toughen you up?
I haven't wrestled him.
Never?
No. The wrestling I do is I'm undefeated. 800-825-5865-466-3776. Caller 5 now for those Ultimate Fighting Championship seats for Saturday. Joel Makovicka next on Hail Varsity.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back with you, Tower 2 at Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. He's a Nebraska Hall of Famer, longtime NFL vet, Makovicka Physical Therapy. And it's always better to give the ball to the fullback if you ask him whether or not it's a part of the offense. Joel Makovicka is back with us. Sir, say it with me. What'd you shoot today?
Hey, man, I wish I could say I shot some, but I actually hurt my back working out like I was in college again about a week ago, and got a little therapy last week and feeling better now, so hopefully I can get back on the golf course this weekend. But whatever I shoot, you know, it's less than you or more than you, I would say.
Yeah, right. I played with my buddy Iowa Russ on Saturday, and let's just say I tried to reenact the scoring they've been putting on Nebraska. It wasn't good. It was horrible, Mr. Makovicka.
Well, times will change when you play me, so you'll be able to dominate me.
Yeah, well, you keep trying to, you know, squat 7,000 pounds and yeah, I'll sure beat you because you won't be able to get out of the court.
Well, when I went to practice, I wanted to show Coach Frost I was still in shape, so in case he ever wanted to bring back the fullback, and I could step right in.
See, and that's kind of what I was like, all right, you just said you got hurt working out. You're trying to show off for your quarterback, and that's what went down. Now, in all seriousness, what'd you do to your back, or are we going to bust HIPAA here? Do we not want to get into it?
We won't bust it. I was I was squatting and doing some split squats and some deadlifts and doing kind of the circuit and hurt a disc in my back. And so I was hurting for about a day or two. And luckily, I have a kind of a company that takes care of that. So I was able to pull some strings and get in for some therapy, and now I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah, and you went up to the front desk, and you are that's how it worked, right? And
yeah, there you go.
I like that. Joel Makovic is with us. Joel, what's your feel here? We're 11 days till kickoff, and you had a chance to see the Big Red up close and personal. You and a lot of your teammates from 97, but just kind of the Husker mm-hmm. family getting together last Friday. How do you feel? Offense, defense, don't break any trade secrets, but share what you think if you want.
Well, I tell you what, it was actually the first time I got to get up there for fall camp, and they were scrimmaging, and hopefully I get in the next 7 or 8 days, I'd like to hit another practice again, but there's a sense of urgency around the camp right now, and I think guys are excited to get the season going. And there's a lot of good talent that they brought in, and I was impressed with some of the freshmen, as you may have heard mm-hmm. Coach Fisher talk about some of the defensive backs that are making some statements as true freshmen. And there was a lot of good things that they did in practice. They practiced with a sense of urgency. It's going to take some time. There's no question about it that the coaching staff knows and Coach Frost knows that it's going to take some time to build the foundation and have them practice and scrimmage exactly how he wants and the whole staff wants them to scrimmage and the fire they need to have and lay it all out of line on the scrimmages. And they know it's going to take some time to build that foundation, but I like what I saw, especially from some of the young guys that they brought in and some of the veterans. So it was, all in all, it was great. There was about probably 75 to 100 former players back, and so it was a good day to be around the program.
Do you feel pretty good about the quarterback spot?
You know what? I do. I'll tell you this. Fans need to know they're freshmen, and it's going to come down to a redshirt freshman and a true freshman. So, you know, just like anything, it's an offense that's up-tempo, and I think they both are going to be able to command the offense. However, they're going to make mistakes, and they're going to – whoever's going to start, they're going to make some mistakes, and we know that because they're freshmen, but they have the capacity to both of them run this offense for Coach Frost. And so I think as the year goes on, they're going to get better and better, but I think fans need to understand, hey, they're freshmen, and neither of them – have played in a college football game. So once the lights turn on, it's going to move a little faster for them, but I think whoever ends up being the starter is going to settle in and play well. And whether that's for the first couple of games, he plays both of them, which I would imagine might happen to where I think they'll both. I don't think it'll be a switch-off series, but I think one will be named the starter and one will play in the first half or get a couple series, and I think they'll do that until they separate themselves. But again, they have the talent and the capacity to run this offense for Coach Frost. It's just a matter of time till they get where I think he's comfortable and lets them do and run the whole show.
Joel Makovic is with us, Hail Varsity Radio, a few minutes, Husker great, Husker Hall of Famer. I want to go back to your time, and it was pretty much great season in 97. Mm-hmm. You guys found a way to win a championship. I want to go back to kind of encompass Jason and Grant being here, and then the family atmosphere, the former players being around. A, how do you think guys are receiving that? Just seeing 75 to 100 former guys watch them. Are they feeling the support? And then B, Your junior year when you guys won it last, mm-hmm. at what point did you follow Scott, or did that happen the year before? Was there kind of a turning point, tipping point type moment with the offense?
Well, Scott Scott was always, and I'll answer the second part first. Mm-hmm. Scott was always a player that it was never a rah-rah, hey, I'm going to lead by getting in people's faces and being a loud guy leading. Scott was always a guy that worked his ass off and got a lot of respect from the guys. Like I said, once he transferred in from Stanford, listen, he was on scout team, and this was a guy that was, you know, all everything out of high school in Nebraska and about as good as it got in the Nebraska high school football world. And then when he came in, he wasn't a guy that said, hey, I was all everything in Nebraska, I'm not going to do my time on scout team. He did his time on scout team, and the guys really gave it to him as far as making an earning on scout team. And he put his head down and did everything possible. And I think that's when, you know, he gained all the respect. And then, you know, we talk about going into 96 and we play well the first couple games, and then we all laid an egg against Arizona State. And that was a real turning point for us, to where that was the first time I'd been beat at Nebraska and the first time we had lost in a couple years. And so it was a eye-opening experience and kind of an awakening again. And then we played well all through 96 until, you know, that Big 12 championship game against Texas, and should have won that game and could have been playing for the national championship again that year. But I think he became a leader throughout that year because he went through some tough times that year as well. You know, it's tough being starting quarterback when we lose our first game in Nebraska in so many years. And so, you know, I think that hardened him up. And like I said, he was never a rah-rah guy and led always by example. And he was the first one coming back after that game against Arizona State to Monday, hey, let's let it go and let's continue to work and finish this season out with not getting beat again. So Scott earned that respect in 96, and then, you know, he was our guy from then. And I think it's just great, and I think that's, you know, why everybody in this state and the former players are all kind of on the same page, that are, you know, we've always been behind this program, no matter who's been coaching, but it's just one of the guys that is back now that we know lived it with us and lived what it is and meant to be a Nebraska football player. There's something to be said with that. You know, you can give, you know, the culture lip service when you haven't experienced it. But Scott's been here and knows what it was like to dominate college football and has a blueprint for that. And I think he's putting his own spin on the blueprint, but knows the blueprint. And one of those keys to that is getting the alumni around, and all the former players are behind him and around. And I think this team understands that and understands that juice it gives everybody and the excitement it brings. And then you can get guys like Grant Wistrom and Jason Peter and those guys around and talk to the team. And you know, these guys are still guys that these players heard about, you know, our generation, they still heard about. And so when those guys talk, the guys listen. And I heard the defense had spirited practices after those guys talk. So anytime you can get former players around, and we had them around when I was there, and it just shows the family atmosphere and what it's like to throw on that helmet that has the N on it.
Joel Makovic is with us, Hail Varsity Radio, a few more minutes. Joel, I think the World Herald's done a nice job on the in-state talent in recruiting and kind of getting back to that, and Frost has been outspoken about that. And why do you think it fell off, and do you think it can come back?
As far as fell off of why the former coaches didn't seem to recruit as hard.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what's your theory on that? I mean, you know, just didn't, you know, get it?
Chris, I think it goes back to, you know, you can give lip service when you come in and you can say, hey, we know this has been a program that has developed a walk-on program, and a lot of great players have come through the walk-on program and contributed to this team. And you can say all that. But until you've lived it and have seen firsthand what it's really like, it's hard to comprehend what the walk-on program was and can be. And Scott Scott has seen that, whether it was I was a starter on the offense with him as a walk-on, or, you know, Matt Hoskinson was one of his good friends that was basically a starter on his offensive line from small-town Nebraska that walked on, or you know, Brian Shaw. There's people like that littered up and down our roster that Scott knew, hey, this is what it takes, and these guys can set the culture, because we worked our tails off at the University of Nebraska and know what it's like to walk onto that field. And I think you can talk to Grant Wistrom, and you can talk to Jason Peter, and you can talk to Aaron Taylor, guys that weren't from this state that understand, like, these in-state kids set the culture, and they push everybody in the weight room, on the practice field, in workouts. And I think Scott gets that, and I think he understands that we need all those guys in the state to come to Nebraska. And then when you get those guys, that just gives you the chance to miss on some scholarship recruits, because these other guys that come along that may mature later in the state of Nebraska that will sit around and bide their time and get in the weight room and you know, get their talent level up to what some of those scholarship was by the time they're juniors and seniors and play and be starters and good players for Nebraska. So I think Scott gets that, and I think he wants to mend the bridges that we've lost in the state high schools, because our coaching staff when I was at Nebraska was in the high schools and knew the coaches by name. And so when you do that, it's kind of like – Nebraska becomes a minor league system, the high schools for the University of Nebraska, to where they run the same offense. You know, when we were there, Nebraska high schools were running I formations and producing some physical offensive linemen. And so it was like a minor league system for Nebraska. And then all those coaches are recruiters then. So if they have any type of kid that they then can make Nebraska, they're calling the coaches at Nebraska saying, hey, you need to come look at this kid. Or our coaches can call one of them, and even if they don't have a player that they think can walk on at Nebraska, they might have played against a player that can walk on Nebraska or that has that talent that people are overlooking. And so it just expands the recruiters you have for the university, and I think that's what he's going to get back to, and that's what they want to do.
Joel, I got about 90 seconds. Joel Makovica, Husker Hall of Famer, fullback, great, with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. We'll get you on Colorado Week. Put it on your calendar, but I want a quick little tease here about the Buffs coming to town here. I know kickoff's 11 days away for Akron, but the Buffs follow up in week two. Does that make you smile, the Buffs back in town?
Absolutely. You know, Colorado's this team we love to hate, and they used to put Nebraska on their schedule in big bold, and it's kind of getting back to, I love playing those teams that used to think we were the big bad bully, and they were kind of like the younger brother, just always with the target on our back to measure up how good they were getting if they could play with us. And I think Scott said it well, is he would love to get back into the kind of some of those old Big 8 and Big 12 rivalries, whether it's K-State or Iowa State or Colorado and Oklahoma, to where our fans can go to those games and easily get there and understand what those rivalries used to be like. So it's going to be exciting, and I think that's a huge game. I mean, that's a game to where, you know, we get Akron on opening weekend, and if we get that game, that's a huge game to go 2-0, and that just starts the season out right.
It does, man, and a lot of memories we'll dive into during, as Coach McBride would say, Puff Week. So, and
of course, he's a great motivator. So anytime you can get a pull from him, it's outstanding.
Well, he went there, and he's like, yeah, I went to the Puffs.
Yeah.
So it's pretty good. Joel, you're awesome, man. It was fun to get caught up, and thanks for a few minutes.
All right, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Good stuff from Joel Makovica. Love talking to the old fullback. Want to remind you about your friends at AgriGold. You've seen that soybean sign in your neighbor's field this year. It's AgriGold. Customers now have access to select soybean varieties direct to their farm, the AgriGold way, with high expectations for every seed that goes into the ground. The approach to soybeans, no different. High-performance soybeans from a brand you already know. For more info, visit AgriGold.com. We'll get to Nebraska basketball in 2 seconds. And still room for you on Nebraska football. We just kind of need the season to hurry up and get the hell here. Right? Let's get Friday here. Offense will be cool tomorrow. Did you find out how things are going with the offensive line and the quarterbacks and the wideouts and the running backs? So that'll be good tomorrow. And then Friday, it's Coach Frost. And then Monday, it's Akron week. So let's talk college football. Jimbo Fisher in the news. Well, Jimbo maybe isn't in the news. But his practices are. So you got a former Texas A&M linebacker alleging recruiting and practice violations by Jimbo Fisher's staff. So you have former A&M linebacker Santino Marcoli revealed in June he intended to transfer to Arizona. And then the Aggies hired new coach Jimbo Fisher, and the coach who recruited him, Kevin Sumlin, now in Tucson. So we'll get to this story in a minute. Let's go to the phones. Tim is on the line. Tim, welcome back into Hail Varsity. Go ahead, bud.
Schmitty, how are you today?
I'm good, brother. What do you know?
Oh, man, I've been living in Gretna now for about a year, so I haven't been back to hear your beautiful voice as much as I'd like to.
Well, when do I get the Gretna invite? I hear Gretna's nice.
You can come anytime. All I do is drink whiskey and get yelled at by my wife, and you're welcome to join me on either one of those. I don't really care.
So why don't we send your wife and my wife out to shop, and we'll just drink whiskey?
Because the last time your wife went shopping for you, she came back with a watch for me, and then things got really confusing. I've heard 9 million people talk about how our football season is going to go this year. I've heard and seen a million articles about how great Michigan is, which is just hilarious. Michigan State's going to bounce back. There's all these other storylines. Iowa still sucks, in my opinion, but they're always going to. So does Missouri. What's our biggest limiting factor? What's the University of Nebraska football team's biggest limiting factor? Where is your biggest concern, and how are they going to be able to cover it up, or are they not going to be able to until they get some more recruiting cycles in under Frost?
I think
I'll hang up. I'll listen. I'm going to start drinking.
All right, buddy. Enjoy. Get the big old ice cube. I think the biggest thing that's limiting Nebraska football this year has just got to be that year one. And it's a new culture that's being instilled and implemented, and you don't have it till you really truly have it. And you have inherited kids, and you have kids that can really help you even though they're inherited. But it's what we were talking about in hour one. You know how this team responded to adversity last year. You don't know how they're going to respond to adversity this year. You think you know. But until that culture takes hold, and every practice is truly insane, you're building up to what you want the standard to be. You can point to it. You can talk about it. Makovica can talk about it like he did the last 15 minutes with us. And Coach Frost knows what that standard is, okay? But Until you get there as a group of guys, you're just going to keep chasing it. And eventually, there'll be a recruiting class or a class year that meets that standard. Here's what is similar to what happened when they were winning. The other part of the thing that is a reality, and you can't fast forward this, is just what type of strength and conditioning really needs to be like on the offensive and defensive lines. Guys have changed their body. Guys have put the work in. Guys are fired up. They're pretty deep as well on the defensive side of the ball. On the offensive line, they'll find some good guys. I think they're pretty happy with the offensive line. But you still came into a program where you're behind, you're way behind because you haven't been doing football like Scott Frost had been doing football for a long time. I gave him like six answers. But you've got a freshman and redshirt freshman at quarterback, so there's your inexperience. Magovica nailed it. They'll play like freshmen at times. And defensively, can you force turnovers? Can you get the football back? Can you stop the run? Can you hold up at corner? And can you score points on offense? Your schedule's murder, too.
That's the biggie.
It is the biggie. So what's the biggest thing holding Nebraska back? It's going to be their schedule.
Yeah, I was going to say it's going to be their schedule and just their lack of on-field experience under this coaching staff.
Right. I said it's year one.
Right.
And schedule, and that's it. Those are two things for Tim. Good for Tim. Gretna's nice.
Never been.
I've driven by it. It's good stuff. Open phone lines here the rest of the show. Believe that. 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. I can tap the line. Chilling Bridge Corps can tap house, let you do that. So what happened here with this this recruiting violation, you have a former A&M kid that wanted to transfer to be with his former coach, Kevin Sumlin, Santino Marcioli. He is kind of blowing the whistle here on Jimbo. So Marcioli enrolled at A&M in January of 17 and redshirted his first season at College Station. Wanted to make the move to Arizona and had to sacrifice a season of eligibility unless the NCAA granted him a waiver. And on two separate weekends during the spring, Marcioli told USA Today Sports he was given hundreds of dollars in cash by linebackers coach Bradley Dale Pivetto to entertain prospects on unofficial visits. At least it wasn't your own money. And those recruiting visits occurred, he said, following April 14th. With Zach Edwards, a three-star linebacker from Stark, Vegas, and the second weekend in June with four-star linebacker Christian Harris. Now he's an A&M verbal. Nakibe Dean from Horn Lake, Mississippi, the home of Brendan Jackson, the number one ranked inside linebacker per Rivals. So the NCAA rules allows $40 a day to entertain recruits. Now I'm going to stop right there. Danny, I need you to weigh in on this. As a college student, could you find a way to entertain yourself on $40? If you're here on an official visit or you're here just scoping things out, my friend, would $40 do it for you?
If it's my first time there and I don't know the ropes of the area, you're saying, or like just me now? Could
I'm
I
just
get
saying,
away with it?
What's Danny Burke spend on a college weekend, let alone a Saturday?
Ideally, you keep it under like $50, but if you're spending around $100, you know it's probably been a pretty solid weekend, or quite the contrary, whichever way it ends up. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't take much, but if you're a top recruit coming in, I mean, you want to show them the time of their life. So, I mean, you can't act like this hasn't been going on forever and ever. And it's what I think, and I kind of know that all these recruits, not all, but most of them kind of expect to happen. You want to get the high class.
You want the red carpet,
yes,
velvet
exactly.
Rope.
You're expecting that.
Treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Make me feel wanted. And she's real pretty. That'd be fun to dance with her. Guys still don't dance, right?
That's a different type of dancing than you guys did.
Well, no. I come on now. This isn't Don Draper era here. But so Marcioli describes being taken aback. Marcioli must have like not been great if he's taken aback by $300 in cash at Aggieville.
Should have just shut up and kept it for himself.
Well, you're hosting guy. Show him a good time. Right now you're crying and whining that Jimbo's not being nice to you and you couldn't go with Sumlin to Arizona. $300. I mean, that's... A&M must be like following the rules now or something.
Seriously.
Right? It used to be a Trans Am with T-tops. The coaches were just having a meeting and they handed me $300. I went to the bathroom. I counted the money. So we'll see here. On a second occasion, Marcioli said the money exchange took place in the bathroom at Razzo's Cajun Cafe. $400 in cash this time. So that's it. The way he explained it, it's like the tip you handed people in Vegas. Oh. So when the players returned after Memorial Day weekend, defensive coordinator Mike Elko brought his players into the meetings and made clear what was expected of him. He said, "We're going to have a lot of meetings and practice that we aren't technically required to. But you guys have to be here because you're way behind. We need to win." So long and short of this, $700 in fun money and some OTAs took place. And the guy is now out to Dan Wetzel.
It doesn't seem like it was the same as Rick Pitino's fun money, though. So.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, A&M used to be on probation clockwork every 3 or 4 years when they were in the Southwestern Conference. Period. They were on probation all the time. They bribed players. They bought the wrong players. They'd buy guys that sucked and no one else wanted. They ended up getting duped. And then they finally started being okay. And then they missed TV for 2 years. Thanks to Hartley Dykes. So did Oklahoma State. So did Oklahoma. But A&M's just, who knows? This is certainly something you want popping up right before kickoff if you're Jimbo. Whatever. We'll talk some Nebraska basketball scheduling. Good news if you're a Saturday fan. Hail Varsity continues presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And we're back.
Fellas, think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Okay, Danny, I got a question for you. You're a fraternity guy.
Yeah, I guess now I was a fraternity guy, so.
You're branded somewhere on your body with that. Did you have a talent show? Did your fraternity have a talent show, or were you guys shut down?
My class, when I was pledging, I don't think we did one, but the years after us, I believe we did.
So you made them happen.
I don't know if I personally made them happen, but I may or may not have
watched. I'm not trying to get you in trouble. I'm saying you were there, and
yeah,
there was a talent show.
I have some buddies who have done some bad things at their talent show. You have to kind of step up over the other.
When you talk bad things, like just did...
Like some swallowed goldfish, some drank their own urine.
My Lord.
Deal. Yeah.
That's awful.
Yeah. So...
The goldfish thing,
wasn't that bad by us, so...
Okay, yeah, I guess not. So how would you have felt if a pledge would have tried to buy his way out? Say it's, for lack of a better example, Trump Jr., says, well, here's a check. Let's buy a hot tub for every room from Deb, of course. How would that have gone over?
So you're saying that much money, like if it's an insane amount he's trying to give me?
I'm going somewhere with this. But how would it have gone over in the house?
At first, I mean, for me personally, I would have seen how much it was. And if it was the right amount, absolutely, I'm taking the cash.
So everybody's got a price.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Unless, you know, you got that hardo leader guy who's like, no, you're absolutely sure. Doing it brotherhood is fine. But
so, you remember Jamarcus Russell?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you have his jersey?
No.
Good answer. So, this is from Josh McCowan, confirming a story today that Jamarcus Russell basically bought his way out of the Raider rookie talent show. How'd he do it? He took briefcases full of money and tossed the money into a crowd of teammates. And that's what he did to get out of it.
See, but that's so different. All these guys already have so much money. You got to make him participate. I'd say screw the money. The fact that he's this embarrassed about it, you got to make him do it at that point.
Well, I don't know that it's an embarrassment thing. I think it's I'm the number one pick overall, and you're
not.
It goes
hand in hand.
Right?
Because he would embarrass himself by doing it. But yeah, that's absolutely it, too. That's why you got to make him do it.
I just wondered how it'd go over. I think you got to do it. I don't think you can buy your way out. That's where I'm at.
In that situation, yeah, you got to make him do it for sure.
See, in hazing and bonding kind of go hand in hand as far as long as the hazing doesn't go too far. What's your take here on Zaire Wade? Nebraska basketball extending an offer to the 2020 point guard, son of Dwayne Wade, of course, and stepson of Gabrielle Union. They are going to be here for Akron, which is cool. They'll be on the sideline for that. Tim Miles gets it, obviously, using football to help recruit basketball. He's 6'275-pounder out of American Heritage School in Fort Lauderdale. And, you know, it's been different in football when you recruit the son of a high-profile, all-star, all-pro-type player. Nebraska's had their run with that here the last 3 years. Jim Mora had his run with that at UCLA. All right. Pete Carroll had his run with that at SC. P. Diddy, Snoop, Nate Dogg, Keyshawn Johnson Jr. Okay, I mean, just throwing some names out there, right? So I'm asking you here with Wade, it seems like all of these guys who have kids, I mean, there's really nowhere to hide on the basketball court. Not that there isn't football either, but you get my point with it being 5-on-5. Are you pretty impressed with Wade's kid from what you've seen of him?
Yeah, he's solid. I mean, I think Bronny Jr. has a lot more going for him from what everyone said.
Sure.
He gets a lot more of the spotlight. But I think Zaire, I think he's a solid player too. I've watched some of his clips on Twitter. I'm sure a lot of people have seen it. He has a lot of potential, and especially to come to Nebraska, just getting the popularity factor of that and just the potential of what he has. You've seen what his family genes can do. So, I mean, I'm all for it. I don't see why you wouldn't be excited if you're a Husker fan at the fact that this could possibly and hopefully happen.
So my question to you is, who else swoops in on this kid, or is he kind of fringe?
That's what I don't know. I haven't really heard anything from any other schools offering him. So that's where it's almost like, is he really going to be the real deal if Nebraska...
Or is it just a perk that, all right, D-Wade's... And he's... Listen, man, Nebraska got in early on him, and he's already been with the team before.
Mm-hmm.
So there's mutual interest still, and maybe he just likes Nebraska. Maybe he likes...
Comfort factor, too, because when you're a kid and you go to a school at a young age, I remember visiting Iowa with my sister, like, you kind of get comfortable there, and you, like, that brings in strong to your consideration while choosing.
How old were you when you went to Iowa?
Sophomore in high school.
So you had a hell of a good time, didn't you?
Yeah, it was a pretty good time.
Sister was how old?
She was a freshman at the time, but some buddy my age, his brother is the same age as my sister, so we both went at the same time because it was parents' weekend, so we had some good times tailgating then.
Yeah, good for you. Yeah. Exactly. Who'd you see play?
I think it was Iowa was hosting Purdue, I want to say.
Yeah, you had to get it down in the parking lot.
Yeah.
You know, the non-Drew Brees Purdue Boilermakers against random 7-5 Hawkeyes,
yeah,
6 years ago.
But what about you? I mean, you went to Kansas, what, in middle school? I guess it's different because
yeah,
you've been to
I
Nebraska
did.
So many times. You grew up around the campus pretty much. But were you already dead set on Nebraska, or was there a little bit of you saying, Kansas is pretty cool?
I tried to, like, get out of state. I sucked academically. That's not a knock on Nebraska. It's just that they like to keep their home talent here.
Mm-hmm.
But did I want to go to, like, Colorado State or Arizona State or somewhere exotic and just totally set my parents' money on fire? Absolutely, I did. They didn't let me, nor did the ACT or SAT. I was here. It worked out. The rest is history. That'll be interesting, though, man. Like, for Junior, if and he's a smart kid.
He's already trying to get out of here, from what you tell me.
I don't know
just
what he
everyone,
wants.
What he's wearing all over the place.
Well, he's just trendy. He's a little puke that way.
He's going to be like some of the kids from my school. They all go to Alabama. Not they all, but a few of them go to Alabama now just because of how good a football they're at.
They just want to go to...
They just want to go to
on purpose, they want to go to Alabama. Okay.
Hey, maybe by the time he's applying, Nebraska will be there, so...
Well, that's the thing, man. We're buying football crap for him, and I'm like, dude, do you want a Nebraska jersey? It's on sale. Like, nah, I'm not wearing that. Fine. You're lost, bro. They'll come back to me when they're good again, saying, Dad, can I get some Nebraska stuff?
It's going to happen.
You have to start saving up there. Saturdays, you have, what, four total Saturdays for Nebraska basketball. That is good. There needs to be more Saturdays. This 8 o'clock Tuesday night crap does nobody any favors in the Haymarket and in the rail yard. Get me Saturday games. Get me 3 o'clock tips so you can... in vibe before and after with you and your buddies.
Those Sunday game ones were brutal.
Well, because you had to get up and get rocking. I mean, they were fun.
Yeah, they were awesome.
They're great. It's
next
still the
day,
weekend.
Not so much.
But yeah, the Mondays, it's a work day. We'll say goodbye to a Tuesday next on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Coming up tomorrow on the show, Parker Gabriel, Lincoln Journal star, going to be with us. Derek Peterson of Hail Varsity, Dr. Petey, going to be with us. We'll run down Mike Shewhart. So a busy, loaded up Wednesday for you. So we've talked quarters at length today. Travis Fisher should be all right. They'll find the right guys. It'll work out. But Will Jackson, the story today is he is no longer with the program. So there's plenty of options for Nebraska. Moses Bryant, still a work in progress, but a guy that Travis Fisher's all over.
Moses Bryant is a mongoose, man. He's a mongoose. He's quick and he's quick as lightning. We just got to get him going. You know, he just got to get him going. You know, some guys approach this thing, they get in this deal. And football, they've been coached like this in high school, and they understand the game. And some guys have not. From Moses, he's been on the other side of the ball. You know, he's been on the other side of the ball. So just learning the position and learning this and learning that, you know, it's a lot going at him in 20-some days of camp. And just a whole lot. But he is someone I definitely want to coach, look forward to coaching. He is fast, and he can move.
A mongoose. I like it. Here are your candidates at nickel. We probably should have gotten into this instead of Hazing or even Jimbo Fisher. My fault. Forgive me. I'll be better tomorrow.
What's the difference between Jimbo Fisher and Hazing?
That's a good question. Didn't Jimbo look like the guy? I mean, totally look like the guy that is the first guy to rat if he doesn't like the Hazing, but he's the first guy to like, okay, you have toe jam. Great. Let's see if this acid helps.
For sure, man.
Right? I mean, it's amputation time.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Right.
He's the one leading that.
It is. He's Niedermeyer and Wormer all into one. Here are your nickel candidates.
My secondary is so versatile. Antonio Reed can play that position, and DiCaprio Voodoo can play that position, and JoJo, Ethan Cox. There's so many guys that we got to play that. Trey Neal. There's so many guys that can play that position, and all of them are great players at that position.
You know, and that kind of goes back to what Mitch Sherman said. If you missed the show today or got parts of it, good stuff from Mitch Sherman today. That'll be on the ESPN Twitter and the Hail Varsity Twitter. Some of the highlights from Mitch, his Futuri post is up too. So if you want just that select portion of Mitch for sure, don't want to miss our chat with Joel Makovicka.
He's up too.
Great stuff from Joel Makovicka on what's going on with Nebraska. We like to hear from Tim. That was good stuff. The two things that'll hold Nebraska back this year, year one of the scheme we came up with, just year one, right? And the schedule.
Right.
I mean, that's a nice 1-2 punch, Andrew Gullotta style. Enough to hurt any program. But, I mean, Nebraska will fight. We just got to see how they bounce back. Great stuff from Joel Makovicka. You can log on, hailvarsity.com, or get to iTunes if you like. for the podcast and select portions, as always, in demand for you on ESPNLincoln.com, at Hail Varsity, Twitter, at ESPN Twitter. You want those T-shirts, Man, Woman, and Child, or the black shirt? Log on today, store.hailvarsity.com. Get some game day gear fired up for you. There's 10 days till kickoff tomorrow. That is the Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke. I'm Chris Schmidt. Talk to you tomorrow at 4 on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.